This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Harvest Vintage. Are you a collector? Blue Harvest love to help you find that missing piece you need to complete your collection. They have extensive stock of vintage Star Wars vehicles and mint on card action figures, as well as new The Force Awakens and Black Series items. Blue Harvest have Funko Pops, Lego, Dinky, Corgi, Matchbox and more. Everything a collector could possibly need. If they don't stock it, then let them know, and their knowledgeable staff will be only too pleased to help. Head to Morley Market in Leeds to see the life-size Darth Vader. Alternatively, reach out to Blue Harvest on Twitter, at Blue Harvest UK, Facebook, Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles, a website, blueharvestvintage.co.uk, or email at blueharvesttoys@gmail.com.
Talk Star Wars is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world.
This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Paul.
And this is part two of episode 52, our monster pre-Rogue One episode. You would have heard...
Last week we were doing the first part.
I know, it's bizarre, isn't it? It seems like only just a 1 minute, 35 seconds ago.
I've been coughing for a week.
You'd have heard everything we usually talk about on Monday's episode about leaving us reviews and everything. All that stuff still stands. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to go straight into Connor's Corner for this week. Rob, would you like to take that, sir?
Always. Right, so Connor writes thusly. Well, gents, this is it. The last Talk Star Wars before Rogue One. I can't believe it's finally here, and Leo and I can't wait to get our geek on. The tickets and our usual seats are booked for the IMAX screening. So what about you guys? Will any of you be getting together for the film? I'm sure, like us, you'll be going to see it a few times the first time. Wait, what? To just watch with those fanboy eyes and just being happy that Star Wars is back on the big screen. The other times, to isolate certain parts of a particular set piece and pick up things you hadn't noticed the first five times. He knows me well. Anyway, as you guessed, I'm a little excited by the release of this film, but there is a tinge of sadness as some of these new characters look absolutely awesome. K2SO in particular, not to mention Baze, Jin, Chirrut, Cassian, Saw, you get my drift. The point I'm trying to make, badly, is these characters will now be immortalized in the Star Wars universe forever, but it looks likely we'll only see them once in a film. How do you guys feel about these standalone films in this respect? Some of them will never get the screen time again. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this and where you go on this. I sense a tangent. So until next week, take care and let us wish you all a very happy Roguemus and a force-filled Christmas. Your friends, Connor and Leo, long live the rebellion. P.S. Will Saw know Anakin is Vader, sent by Holocron?
Another one of those little postscripts that always has a...
that almost ends up throwing a
45-minute conversation attached to it.
Yep. Not today.
All right, well, let's start off by discussing how we're going to see this. So...
Give me a minute, sorry, I've lost stuff.
Okay, mate. Okay.
No, I haven't got it either, but I think I'm looking at old podcast, old notes.
You might be looking at old notes, yeah.
It's all right. I got a breakdown.
I can break it down.
Break it down.
So how are we going to see the film?
I am going with Paul and our friend Andy, who's done several podcasts in the past, but mainly on Movie Geeks.
Yeah, he's done a couple of, he's done one or two.
Yeah, he's been on a couple of these early ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going on the... We're not doing the midnight showing because we're old, no. We work. And, well, work's a loose term. But we attend work, so we can't go to the midnight one because Paul will be asleep and I'll be desperately trying to stay awake.
Okay,
so we're going to go the next day at 7:15 in the evening.
No, we're going the next day at 7:15 in the evening because Steve required it. I wanted to go to the midnight showing, but Steve was too bloody old to go, so...
I can't. That I agree with you. You must be right because I've forgotten all that.
Plus, at that time of night, Steve, you'll be trying to get naked, and you can't really do that in public
without making anyone.
I would have had two dinners by that point.
I'm actually off now until January. So
nice,
nicely done, sir. Well done. Mm.
So I was more than happy to do the thing, but we are going to do the IMAX thing, aren't we, Steve?
It is IMAX. Is it? You're saying it?
You booked it, haven't you?
I think we're IMAX. Yes.
Yeah, we booked it.
I think
3D, though. I'm not sure about 3D. I wanted 2D, but never mind. I find
just,
the colours...
Just take one of the lenses out.
Such a Luddite.
No, but I find the colours get washed out in 3D.
I'm not a big fan of 3D, personally. But
there you go. Then.
Yeah, I'm with you. There. But that's how I'll be seeing it first time as well. I'll be seeing it in IMAX 3D.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Rob, you're going to the midnight show, right?
I am indeed. Yeah, I'm going to a midnight showing where I will most likely meet Jeremy for the first time in person. Yeah, we've interacted a lot over Twitter, but we've never actually met, so that'll be fun for me. I'm looking forward to it immensely, and obviously a midnight showing is always fun.
Yeah, if you are at their screening, then you're going to see two of the biggest people you've ever seen in your life watching Star Wars.
Yeah, kind of, you know, tall and tall and
sit behind them.
Hench. Yeah. Tall and hench are going to be in the house.
The poor people that sit behind you two guys.
MC Cruise.
That's the reason I'm not going to.
I booked an aisle seat. I'll be fine. And then I've booked myself a half day off the following day. So I'm going in for the morning and then going home at lunchtime. And then I've got the rest of the week off.
See, that's dangerous. What if you hate it?
What do you mean? What, work?
Absolutely low. Are you going to see it twice, are you then?
No. I'm going to see it. The moment, I've only made plans to see it once.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant...
Oh, sorry. I see what you mean. You thought I was going to take a half day off and go and see it again.
Yes.
No. I'm going to take a half day off, go home, and probably collapse into the couch.
Oh, okay.
Because I'll be knackered at that point.
All right, then I'll change my question. What if you love it and then you'll wish you booked it again?
If I love it and wish I'd booked it again, I've got the afternoon off.
And I've also got an answer for everything.
I know. Infuriating, isn't it? I've got the following day off as well because I had holiday left to use up, so... There's windows for me to see it again, should I wish to.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll be seeing it in a slightly unusual way. I'll be seeing it with one person on the...
I'll be looking at the back of the screen.
Yeah, at the earliest opportunity. I will...
What time are you watching?
Oh. I'm going to see it quite early.
Yeah.
On the day of release. Sort of stupid o'clock.
Right.
And it would just be me and a colleague... that get to see it, and we are going to be watching it in 3D IMAX.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. Well, you've got to check that it's all working.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. It's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty good. Last year's initial viewing of The Force Awakens for me was similar, although it was 2D, and there was only three of us in that screening. And it's great, but I do miss that audience interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be going back, I think. It's Lisa's birthday just after Christmas, so that will be a birthday gift, because I'm a really thoughtful husband. I'll be taking her to see a film that I like.
That you want to see.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
She
must love you.
All right, what about the main crux?
About standalone movies, right?
Yeah.
Who would you want? I guess the question is best expressed as who would you want to get their own standalone movie the most?
Yeah, how do you feel about the fact that we're only going to see these characters, most likely only going to see the characters once?
I'd always assume they'd all be dead.
I think it's possible, but it's
I get a feeling the darkness is going to come in. Sorry, Rob, for interrupting you, but I get a feeling the darkness is in the grittiness of the film is going to be because they all snuff it.
Everybody did.
Yeah. Except for the big droid.
Yeah. I think that's possible, and actually I think that's kind of probable. But we don't really know at this point, do we? Well, no, what I mean is we don't know about whether or not these are characters we are going to want to see again. They might be crap. You know, I doubt they will be, but we've only seen little snippets and they might be the only bits that are any good.
Mm.
You know, like when trailers put the funny bits in the like comedy trailers especially are notoriously bad for it, put in all the funny bits in the trailer and then you go to the film and you go, oh, was the only bits?
I'd already seen it all.
Yeah, exactly. And if that's the only bits of levity in their characters, in the bits in the trailer, then it might kind of not land as much as they might.
Has anyone read any previews yet, or aren't there any?
There's 28 minutes out there, and it's all
But you can't even. I read one that wasn't that positive. They said that the characters were introduced too quick. Well, I thought, you've asked because you've watched a 28-minute version.
Yeah.
It's also it's almost a heist movie, isn't it? Of course, they're introducing the characters quickly.
This could work in film's favour, though.
This isn't about characterisations.
What's that, sorry?
This film isn't about characterisations. Film is about the idea that we understand, because we were told a story a long, long time ago, that some spies took some plans. That's all we know. And that's all we really need to know. These people are already immortalised forever because they're in the opening crawl. They're the ones that carried out that amazing feat.
It does need to work on its own, though, Paul, doesn't it?
Yes.
as an exercise.
I don't want this to be connected in any way. I mean, obviously, there's going to be, hopefully, there's going to be a reasonable mold into Star Wars.
Yeah.
But other than that, I hope this is a complete standalone situation where I'm more than happy for this to be almost like an information silo. You go in, you come out, done. Perfect. Thank you very much.
But that's
all I ever imagined from it and all I ever wanted from it.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. By the same token, I do want it to sit nicely. Like a good dog.
Yeah, well, while we're there, I want you to sit nicely, actually.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
It could be... This could be a strength for the film, though, this bittersweet nature that we get into this film, we meet these characters, we fall in love with these characters, we see them make these enormous sacrifices, mm-hmm. and then we can never spend any time with them again.
Well, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. interesting, Mark, because...
It's very sellable.
There's a throwaway line in ROTC, or was that right? Return of the ROT... No, ROTJ.
Return of the...
There's a throwaway line about many boffins snuffing it, but you don't really care about it because you don't know what a boffin is and you never met any of them. This yeah. will make boffins. It much more weird.
Many boffins died.
Yeah,
that's the darkest episode of the University Challenge I've ever seen.
They are different. This
sorry.
This isn't the boffins thing, though, is it? This
no, I know.
Right one.
But it's in the same way.
So we're seeing
this emotional connection you won't have had before.
Mm.
Yeah.
You didn't care about the boffins because you never saw it, but this will make you care about the spies.
Yeah.
They're going to write her in such a way that I think we will be connecting her in some bizarre way to Rey, this young heroic woman that, you know, that's got this mission and she's going to kick some ass and so on. And I think she will be immortalized because of it. I think she's going to do extremely well. But then it stops. But that doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, she. The heroes we know are built on the bones of these guys, aren't they? So
yeah.
Where we see Baze and Chirrut and Cassian and Jyn, they all lay down their lives for this greater cause.
Basically,
Han, Luke, and Leia, they pick up that legacy and they take it forward, and then that's now been picked up by Poe, Finn, and
Rey. I'll tell you what. One thing that's really cool about it, like I mean, I know you guys aren't into professional wrestling, like I have a passing interest in it. But one of the things that's really entertaining in a match is when you have loads of false finishes where it looks like, you know, the person who's being pinned couldn't possibly kick out. And then they do. They've got so much opportunity to do that with us, to kind of play with us emotionally, tease somebody dying, going into dangerous situations. Like those movies that kind of take the mickey out of horror tropes, you know, the ones that like they go into sort of dangerous situations and they do the sort of the false start where you think it's going to happen and then it doesn't happen and it happens somewhere else or in an unexpected way that you weren't telegraphed for. They've got so much opportunity to do that stuff here. Whether or not they do, is, you know, hopefully they do.
I'm going to end up with an extra man crush on Felicity Jones as well as Daisy Ridley.
No, that's not how man crushes work, Steve. No,
that's just regular crushes.
You're just talking about crushes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, man crushes.
If you
want
to see a man crush, I refer you to Rob.
Yeah, see the film with me, mate, because I'll be sitting there just lost in his dreamy eyes. They are, though. I don't care.
Yeah, I think he's gonna leave a space that can't be filled, Krennic.
Mm.
Because I think he's going to be spectacular in this movie from what I've seen so far. And hearing the other guys talk about him, hearing Gareth Edwards talk about how intimidating he can be when he switches it on.
Yes.
Very, very keen. Yeah. Okay, that's great. That's great stuff. Thanks, Connor. We hope.
Thank you. Pleasure as always.
We hope you enjoy your screen and we look forward to hearing what you think about it.
Please.
Looks like most of us will be seeing it in IMAX for the first experience.
Nope. 2D.
This would be good.
2D all the way, baby.
Okay.
I may see it in IMAX at some point, though.
The idea, well, we all need to go together, don't we, at some point after the initial screening and take it all in again together.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, cool. Right, the idea of breaking these episodes into two was so that we could spend a bit of time talking about the movie, talking about what we hope, what our hopes are for the film, what our fears are for the film, and making a few fun predictions about where it's all going to go.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I opened it up to a few listeners to see what people could communicate to us about their hopes and fears for this movie. And so we've had a few things here. I'm probably going to have to bleep myself here. In fact, I might do it as we go.
Right.
So we've had these tweets on the subject of Rogue One hopes and fears from the Monster Closet at Podcast Rage on Twitter.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We had hoping that it will go for a dark ending to justify the Galactic Civil War crawl before A New Hope. Mm-hmm. So that I don't know how dark they're going to go with this. And being as it's self-contained, the three-act structure that you would apply to it would suggest that the ending is probably going to be hopeful rather than that dark.
Doesn't have to be upbeat to be hopeful.
Well, I guess... In a way, A New Hope is kind of the sequel, and that should give us that hopeful ending. It's really only the second chapter in a trilogy that can get away with ending on a downer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to have the up-down thing, don't you?
But this is rewriting the rules, isn't it? By being a standalone.
Yeah, it's playing with the rules.
It's taking that chance.
Maybe they'll do a closing crawl.
Yeah, ooh. Somebody else mentioned that as well. I don't know.
No.
I don't think they will. I think it will just end with the iris out to the to the director credit.
To the main Star Wars theme.
Mm.
Is it John Williams we're talking? No, that's not John Williams.
Having said that, there is on the soundtrack, there is Star Wars music, original Star Wars music by John Williams in the credits.
Right. Yeah.
So there is a good chance there's going to be at least one theme.
Yeah, it'll be bookended by the Williams theme, I would imagine.
Well, that'll be good. Even without an opening crawl, at least that will bring you into
I think
the
we heard some Giacchino music today on the fifth international trailer that came out on the official YouTube channel of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And if is Giacchino, it's fantastic.
Nice.
Sorry, Steve.
I don't understand the whole trailer thing. Why this many trailers? Everyone knows. Everyone's going. All it is just milking it. And so ruining a film now.
They're not releasing that much footage.
There's not that much new stuff. Yeah,
there's not that much out there.
I googled it earlier. It's 10 minutes in total, which is ridiculous.
I don't know. That might include stuff that they've taken from the sizzle reels and things like that.
I think it
potentially.
Does.
Potentially, I don't think there's that much out there that gives us much of a look at the narrative, and certainly doesn't give us much that we don't already know about the plot.
I mean, we're talking now and we know nothing.
Yeah.
I've seen one little snippet of what could end up being a scene in the film, but for all I know, it got cut, and that's why it got shown.
I've seen two trailers, that's it.
I'm seeing a lot of tonal stuff in there. It's sort of framing characters like K2SO. It's showing you this guy, you're going to enjoy the humour at this character's humour. And Galen is sort of giving you the tragic character, and Vader's been really sparing. And Tarkin is a blink and you miss it sort of glimpse.
Yeah.
So there's still lots to learn about this thing. I don't know how much has been spoiled, but they're doing really important work, these trailers and TV spots. They're communicating the tone. They're setting the film in a time frame for those that are still ignorant to that. And they're just showing that it's this balls out action, fast paced action movie. They're doing sterling work with these trailers.
I agree. I think they've done a good job.
Okay, so we've got another tweet from Moderately Informed at Moderate Info on Twitter, and they say, "I want to see Vader up." So you can... what was that, Steve?
Oh
no! Don't you dare answer him, Steve.
I thought you were bleeping stuff out, so I heard it.
No, he's not. So that's why I said, "Don't you dare respond." We can get away with muffled.
Time code.
Yeah, I've just taken the time code down. Getting my just pen furiously.
Listen to it back. I think it was
the F&M comment earlier.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We've got a voicemail from Ads where he's broken down. It's quite lengthy. He's broken down what wants to see from Rogue One. His predictions and his hopes and his fears. So this is Knight of the Commonwealth Ads.
Hello, lads. So the Talk Star Wars Almost Time for Rogue One pod. And so I understand you want some thoughts about the film, so here goes. I'm hoping that when I leave the cinema next Thursday evening, I will have been introduced to and fallen in love with a whole new bunch of Star Wars characters. I'm hoping to see a really gritty war movie. And I'm hoping it's going to be shot in a way that allows us to really feel as if we're part of that scene. In a similar way to Saving Private Ryan, when we saw them reach the beachhead and come up onto the actual beach, you felt like you were a part of it. You were totally disorientated, didn't really know what was going on. And I'm hoping that certainly parts of the film leave me feeling like that. Some of my fears for the movie are actually some of the things I'm really looking forward to seeing if they can achieve. Whether Leia will be in the movie, whether Tarkin will be in the movie, and how they will be in, whether CGI will actually come into play, which could be the first of its kind, which is really exciting to think. I'm hoping that they don't mess up the connection of the original A New Hope film, or even that they do such a great job of Rogue One that it somewhat diminishes A New Hope. I don't think that's possible, but they've got to slot into play. You asked for predictions for the film, and I'm hoping that we see Vader being totally kick-ass. I'm not necessarily expecting to see him with a lightsaber or, you know, that sort of thing. But there is a scene in Rebels where Ezra uses the Force against a AT-ST walker and effectively controls the pilot, forcing it to attack its own troops. And I'm wondering whether we might see something similar to that. Another prediction I have concerns Vader's first entrance in A New Hope, when he boards Leia's ship. And I wonder whether we may witness in Rogue One the end of Krennic moments before Vader walks through those doors. I think it'd be really cool if we saw the shot from the perspective of Vader standing there, the other side of those doors, with perhaps Krennic's body lying on the floor, having just been force choked, perhaps. And then my final prediction would be that come the end of the film, I might have developed, in the same way that Rob obsesses over Krennic, a slight obsession with K2SO, who I think will probably steal every scene that he's in and rival your R2s, your C3POs and your BB-8s. So that's what I think. I genuinely hope you all have a fantastic experience, and I can't wait to hear what you think of the film and dissect it for many months to come. Take care, and long live the Commonwealth.
Nice one. Thanks for that, Ed.
Thank you,
Ed.
Oh, my God. It's really funny that he mentioned the Vader shot, because as soon as he mentioned the running up until the very beginning of New Hope with Vader, I instantly pictured Vader on the other side of those doors.
Yeah.
Adding the Krennic thing in was an interesting touch. Obviously, I might not want to see that for different reasons, but, you know, man crushes being what they are.
Leave the cinema screaming and crying.
I love that idea. I really, really love it. I really like the idea as well that Krennic's kind of underfoot for that mission, and Vader just kind of chokes him out or cuts him to bits and just goes, you know, let the grown-ups work.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, what about what about his fears that it might diminish A New Hope in some way?
I don't think it can.
How can it? Yeah,
is stuck in there now.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it can.
I do like the idea, the fears for the CGI, and it made me think about, not necessarily about Rogue One, which we have spoken about with Princess Leia being CGI before, but I wonder if the first time thing in episode 8 is a complete CGI of a person who's passed away, like, you know, Obi-Wan.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, when we were talking about that, that's another thing that went through my head, was the idea that what they said about doing in episode 8 that they'd never done in Star Wars before is Bob Monkhousing him. Now, you ever familiar with that one?
Bob Monkhousing.
Yes, no, I don't know. That's not the actual technical term, but they managed. They basically brought Bob Monkhouse back to life for the purposes of an advert, it's incredible to watch because it's so well done. You wouldn't know the difference, but it's basically Bob Monkhouse, and it's a health thing about getting checked for whatever he had.
Oh,
I forget what he had. Okay. And it's superb. Like I say, you'd never know if you didn't know that he was already long gone. You wouldn't necessarily know the difference. It's so well done.
For those watching who don't know who Bob Monkhouse is,
he's a game show host. Yeah, famous beloved UK game show host, wasn't
he? I've just done him a real disservice.
He was a stand-up as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's an amazing he's very British good. Legend.
He is a British treasure.
Yeah, legend of stand-up and TV and
everything.
Everything, yeah, he was wonderful.
Okay, yeah, so we share that then, Rob, that maybe that's what they'll do in episode 8,
CG Force Ghost.
Get rid of that uncanny valley and pass into the light.
Yeah, maybe.
Fantastic.
Paul, do you have any thoughts on Ad's comments on his hopes and fears?
A lot of them are similar to what I've expressed before, to be honest. I don't want any CGI at all. I'd rather the film was simplistic. I'd rather have rear views of characters that we know who they are without seeing faces and things like that. I'm happy for that. I actually want Vader to be very subtle in this film. I do not want anything. I don't want him throwing his toys out of his pram or anything. I want him, because he didn't in Star Wars particularly.
No.
He's, but then he might be knackered from Rogue One.
Yeah, he's just having a breather.
It's just like, oh, all right,
before we get too deep into ours, let's just go through a couple of these other listener comments that are coming through on Twitter. Rob, do you want to take Robert Phillips?
Yeah, sure. So Robert Phillips came back to the thread, which said, prediction, Rebels get the plans, blow up the weapon, Vader is reunited with his long-lost son and comes back to the light. You know what, Rob? I reckon that you might be onto something there.
It's almost as though he knows something, right?
He might get one of those right.
He's an optimist, I'll tell you that much.
I don't think he's on the money, but I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if it all came off. Like Paul said, that's really optimistic. Let's have a look. So Alex at @mythoughts_O_E replied back to say, hope Felicity Jones punches Vader right on the nose. I fear she will not.
Yeah.
I think that's a fairly safe bet.
She might have a go at it, but she might have a
grill-shaped mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Where he just chins her. You what? Do me a lemon.
Robert Phillips came back to us after his joking tweet previously and said his hope is that Vader gets some action scenes. Okay. His fear is that the Empire will look weak, and he predicts that Jyn gets away with her dad, although he hopes not.
I hope they don't.
I like that, because that leaves it open to a sequel.
I don't want it. I don't think she'll survive the film. And in a way, I kind of hope she doesn't. Because I think it would make for a more compelling story, because she's kind of been brought in to do something particular, and in this case it's kind of
somebody always dies.
Well, yeah, this is true, but I mean she's being brought in for the purposes of kind of bridging a particular gap, which is Galen to the rebellion. Once that purpose has been set, she doesn't serve any storyline relevance going forwards, and we never hear from her again in Saga in terms of what's in the films that have already been released. So there's no necessary reason to keep her in the film other than just because, she's a strong character. And I comes back to something I mentioned a couple of episodes ago. If you want strong characters, they have to go through hardship, because otherwise they're just not compelling. So for her to, and this is one of those ones, this is another cynical hat, but I'll wear it for a few seconds just because it fits nice. If your reason for keeping her alive is because she's a female character, jog on.
What about if she... You say we haven't seen her in the original trilogy. What if we have? What if she was a part of that Bothan strike to get the Death Star 2 plans? And we know from early footage from Rogue One that Jyn isn't necessarily, she's not part of the rebellion, and she's forcibly brought into the rebellion because of her ties, like you said, Rob, her ties to Galen. So what if that's the only mission she intends? She's not a Han Solo by the end of this film and comes back and says, look, all right, you've made me see, I've seen the error of my ways. I need to be a part of this thing for the greater good. What if she says, no, I'm done. I've done the mission. I've survived. She's either got a dad or she hasn't. And she goes off into the sunset and that's the end of Jyn's story. And then they pull her back into action a couple of years later with the Death Star 2 plans because she's got experience at it.
I'm not a fan.
You could see that there's a way.
I can see how they might do it.
There's a way to let her live, and it's just not because she's one of the latest Disney princesses. She could have a plot specific reason for staying alive, and and a storyline that's already a part of established canon.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I fully believe that they could end up doing that. I just would personally like to see. You know, I don't want her to be exempt from the we talked about the floor of bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her to be the only one exempt from that because she's the only one on the team with only X chromosomes.
Yes, yeah.
It's weak storytelling.
Yeah.
That's my big... And to be honest, talking about big worries, that is mine, that she's going to be sort of spared the fate of the others. Because
she's a chick.
Because they don't want backlash from grievance mongers. But they're going to find something to be annoyed about anyway, so you might as well just not kowtow to them at all.
Rob, you got any thoughts on this?
I am Rob. That was me.
Excuse me, sorry. Paul, you got any thoughts on this before we move on to our own hopes and fears? Okay, then we're going to move on now into our own hopes and fears. We're going to start with mine, and then we'll jump to a quick break, and we'll come back and listen to your guys. So for me... hopes for Rogue One. I hope we get a movie that's self-contained, a self-contained story that dovetails neatly into what we already know. So it needs to, for me, it needs to blend smoothly and seamlessly into A New Hope without contradicting anything we know. So even though I was intrigued by what Ad said earlier about having Krennic on the other side of that door and seeing the door that Vader walks through explode, from this point of view, to me, that's too much of an overlap. Even those few seconds, it's too much of an overlap with A New Hope. I'd rather see the final frames of Rogue One be the Tantive for making its jump to hyperspace. And then when we get to Episode 4, A New Hope, we see that arrive at Tatooine. That's the kind of thing I'd like to see those two films butt up to each other like that. I don't really want anything retconned. I don't mind mild retcons, but big context shifting alterations, I'm not a big fan of that idea. In terms of fears, I fear that any CGI characters will distract from the story and open the door to critics. This film needs to succeed or fail based on its story and not the tools that are used to tell the story. So I know we've already said we don't really want any CGI, but we all know there's going to be tons of it because you look at that space battle and that's not models on sticks. And
But there's a difference between CGI in space battles and CGI characters.
Yeah, I'm being pedantic, but with the CGI characters, I think we need to go so far with it. And I'm okay if we're looking at characters in hologram form and that's how we get CGI representations of them. But with regard to Leia, she's the one that seems to be upsetting a lot of people. But not too many people don't seem to be bothered about Tarkin. I think he's going to have much more plot-specific responsibilities in this movie. But Leia seems to be something that you could add in a CG character. We've already seen Bail. We've seen the footage of Bail in Yavin 4's battle room. Yeah. I suspect that Leia's in there somewhere, that she'll be present at that meeting. And that will be a CGI representation of 19-year-old Carrie Fisher with no dialogue, just a few looks exchanged between her and Bail or her and Mon Mothma. Maybe there'll be some other characters in there that we may or may not be familiar with from Episode 1. And then later on at the end of the movie, I think we'll see her with maybe some lines of dialogue that involve her taking the plans from her father and going to Tatooine. So that's the way I see it. The hero shots of her will be pretty much just her in a group of people. And then later on, possibly in hologram form, we'll get more dialogue-driven scenes with her. That's what needs to work. My fears are that will stumble and fall, because at the moment, if it does, there are so many people that are quick to say, we told you so, it shouldn't have been done.
Yeah.
And if it succeeds, I think there'll be too few people saying they've cracked it. I think we'll just be accepted and we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my fear. I've written five predictions.
Okay.
They are that we'll see a CGI Princess Leia tying together the OT and the prequel trilogy. In the way that I just mentioned around that battle table where we see Bail Organa engaged in dialogue with Mon Mothma. The Death Star, the reveal that the Death Star was designed to render a planet uninhabitable, but Tarkin uses it to destroy a planet in episode 4 because he's a nut job. And that wasn't what its initial intention was. It was used to alter a planet and not destroy it.
Right.
My third prediction is that all the rebels will be dead or on the run by the end of this movie, with only K2SO making it back to the rebel fleet with the plans. So droid passing it to the rebellion and the rebellion passing it to a droid gives you that kind of synergy. The Emperor, I think we'll get a glimpse of Emperor Palpatine, possibly in the Senate with Mass Amida, or possibly even in hologram form. But I think the Emperor is going to be in there. And then finally, this is a golden nugget from a long time ago, the shuttle Tidarium. I think that shuttle that we see in Return of the Jedi will pop up in this movie and be the way off of Scarif, possibly just for K2SO or any surviving rebels. And that's how the Rebellion get hold of that ship to be used in Return of the Jedi. Okay. They're my five predictions for this movie.
All right, cool.
I did have others, but they've already been revealed as being...
either there or not
being there, like Bale's involvement in the movie, Tarkin.
And what's your prediction, Mark, for a score out of 10?
Well, I don't like to apply arbitrary numbers.
No, but you can change it.
Stack rank things.
I want to see
what
you anticipate it being.
I think this film's gonna be as close to perfect as you're gonna get.
So do you think a 9 or a 10 out of 10?
Yeah, I think absolutely up there. I think it's going to be up there with Empire as being so beautifully made, so beautifully crafted, that it's going to be difficult to criticise it in any way. I really think that they're going to put so much effort into getting this right. And everything I've seen so far, they seem to have done it.
Use it as a launchpad for 8.
Yeah, and the next standalone films. I think they're going to nail it completely.
Okay. So you reckon, what, 9 out of 10?
Yeah, I imagine that. I think it will probably have close to $200 million opening weekend as well.
Oh, wow.
That's a bold one.
Haven't they already got that, Mark, on pre-sales?
No, they're still, with the pre-sales at the moment, they're still predicting anywhere between 120 and 150, but I think that's conservative. I think that it's going to really blow up.
So will it be episode 7, do you think?
I don't think it can do that, because I don't think there'll be episode 7 was a unique situation where it was the first new Star Wars film in a decade and everyone went back and saw it and reviewed it. I don't think that this will have the same amount of revisits as that movie.
Potential.
So that will harm its ability to make money. But having said that, I do think that this will appeal to the Asian markets a lot more than The Force Awakens did, because of two of its stars. Mm-hmm. So it has access to a market where The Force Awakens notoriously fell flat. So it might come somewhere. I don't think it stands a chance of beating it, but it might come closer to The Force Awakens than we expect, purely because of those other regions that it's going to make money in, that Force Awakens did.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get into hopes and fears from you guys and a few of your predictions for Rogue One. If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, you can do so by becoming a TSW sponsor. For as little as £1 per month, given securely via PayPal, you can help us keep the lights on here at TSW. When you become a TSW sponsor, we will elevate you to VIP status. As a TSW VIP, you'll get access to an exclusive stream that provides you with fun downloads like HD wallpapers for your desktop, tablet, and mobile device, ringtones and text alerts, courtesy of our very own audio Jedi, at Rob Wade Vision. You'll also receive a monthly newsletter with news about what's going on here at Talk Star Wars, and you'll get a priority release of the new Star Wars audio commentary series called TSW Feature Comms. All this for as little as £1 per month. Head to talkstarwars.co.uk/support and become a TSW sponsor today, and the Force will be with you always. Okay, and we're back, and we're going to go straight over now to Paul Faye's hopes and fears for Rogue One.
Mine are fairly simplistic, because I've been preaching on this for about, 12 months. Hopes. Raw. Simple, please. I actually kind of want a die-hard approach to this. I want slam, let's go, let's hang on to the handlebars of this roller coaster, try and hold on tight and enjoy the ride. We kind of know what's going to happen, just make sure we enjoy every moment of it. So I want to go down fast, I want to go up slow, I want to feel everything that they feel and so on. Okay, I want it to be very dialogue driven as much as possible. I don't want to rely on just situations, and to be honest, I'm not even caring about comedy. A lot of the stuff that's popped out, I mean, some of the things that popped out was trailer wise were you nearly shot me, and I actually thought the tone of that was a bit silly, frankly. I'm not really worried about that, bearing in mind this is a war story, but I know it's going to come in because you've got to appeal to the masses, sort of thing. I want minimal backstory as well. I want to meet these characters. Basically, they're on a mission. When we watch, normal war films and so on, we don't care about their backstory, unfortunately. You didn't get it so much with Aliens, did we? Similar kind of situation. That's so these, true, yeah. These kick-ass troops are just stuck in that tank and away they go. And I don't mind if this is the same sort of approach. I think we'll obviously meet Jin's backstory to a degree because, Dad's in it. We've seen stuff with the crystal and Mum and so on. So that's inevitable because she is our forefront character, which, to be honest, might be a big breath of fresh air. I want the space action to be as faithful to Star Wars as possible. Really as faithful to Star Wars as possible. I like grungy old X-Wings sort of thing wobbling through space. I want the ships to look as simplistic as we saw them. I don't care if it was 40 years ago. That's what I fell in love with. And the idea that this is obviously a big, big rewind and a revisit, I think that's quite important. But it's certainly important to me. So I don't want it to be too glossy. I don't want it to be pretty. I don't want beautiful halo explosions or anything like that. I want to see what Star Wars gave me many, many moons ago as well. And most importantly, prediction or hope or both at the same time, I don't know. I want to be able to shout, yeah, at the end as loud as I can. I really want to leave it saying that's how you make a Star Wars film. Because when I left Star Wars, I was like seven. I left the film. I actually couldn't speak when I left the film. It was like, that's what a film is. It's escapism. It was beautiful. It was simple, romantic, to the point, love story, and away we go. Love of, many things, obviously.
Justice.
Yeah, and justice is really important, and that's what I want to see in a nutshell. And I just want to come out going, thank you so much.
That's fantastic. Okay, yeah, so, I think we all want that. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Good and point. I mean, from a scoring point of view, I'm not going to worry about that. I just want to be completely overwhelmed and grateful. It's when you spend the money on the ticket and you're like, I stole from them. That's the kind of feeling I'd like to.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. That's a nice way of putting it.
That's all too rare, right? All too rare.
It is nowadays. Fears, not many, to be honest, because I think the film's going to deliver to a reasonable degree what I'm hoping. But I mean, I've made it very, very clear. I don't want any CGI at all. I mean, there'll be some in battles and obviously all sorts of blendings and touch-ups and things, but I don't want any CGI faces, characters, or anything like that. I don't want to see it. Okay. Keep it simple. I want the sets to be simple too, as such, if that makes sense. I'm not caring for the crawl. I think we know the crawl's not going to happen now.
Yeah, that's confirmed. Yeah,
I don't want it at the beginning, and I certainly don't want anything like that at the end either. It is a standalone film, and I want it to feel like a standalone film. It's going to blend to a degree, obviously, into Star Wars. But I want it to be very much of its own entity. And like you said, the characters, we might not see them again, but I want their own stamp to be made on a one-off. And if they do this properly, that'll be just as powerful as seeing them in three films anyway. It's all about just setting them properly, simple as.
Mm-hmm.
One thing might sound weird, but many of our Canadian listeners and American listeners might not understand where I'm coming from here. Right. I really don't want a slow Blackadder type ending for our heroes.
Okay, yeah.
That makes sense. I want this real, because that's when it becomes painful, emotional, and important. Now, the end of Blackadder was, and it moved me to tears, but at the same time, I want this to be more punchy, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to dwell, and I don't want long hand-holding, you know, you're my best friend, even though I've only known you an hour and all that kind of thing. I do want them to crack on with it, and they are, it looks like they're crack troops and so on, so I do want that. Not that I'm being, I don't want to be sound heartless, but I don't think time's on their side.
No, that's fair to
that
say.
That kind of situation either.
Yeah.
And I also, I don't want Vader used too heavily. I'm a bit worried that'll be the case. I'm okay if it's, you know, 20 minutes of semi-cameo situations. I think we'll get the chokehold. It's inevitable sort of thing. But I think we might get from this, because we didn't get it much from what's it called? Revenge of the Sith?
Yep.
I think we're going to learn a bit more about Anakin becoming Vader and who Vader is now. And I think if we've got an idea that possibly the Bacta tank's in there and it's dealing with this new entity of a man now that he's become.
Yeah.
If they deal with that to a small degree, fine. But I don't want Vader becoming a kick-ass, you know, dark ninja, whatever. People talk about him controlling lightning bolts because they saw it in Force Awakens and so on. I don't want any of that. I want him, to be honest, I don't mind if he doesn't even get off the Death Star or his Star Destroyer. I don't think he's going to go down to the beaches. I might have missed a shot somewhere, but I think he's going to be very standoffish doing his dignified command, you know, commanding sort of situation anyway. So
could be.
Yeah. So I want a subtle Vader, to be honest. Sorry. Predictions. Predictions. Krennic. I think we're going to lose Krennic almost heroically for some reason.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think there might be a tiny... I might be completely wrong. I mean, some of the stuff, it looks like he's shouting, but I'm like, where is he shouting? And I'm wondering if he does have a tiny, tiny ounce of consciousness in this, purely because maybe they destroy his home planet too. So I'm wondering if they backstab him. And I'm wondering if we lose Krennic thinking he was actually... he might have been on the right side of all this in the end. I don't know. Maybe the idea of if it is his home planet that gets taken, he's like, this has gone too far, I'm not doing any more of this. A little bit like a Finn situation, but I don't know. And also, I think the last scene, similar to what Mark said, I think we're literally going to see the little melee up in space with the blockade runner, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
And I think you are going to see it literally zoom out of that, you know, that mass carnage situation in the war in space, literally being followed by a Star Destroyer and then fade to black.
Yeah, good call.
That's pretty much where I am.
Awesome, mate. Great points. Really, really great points. And especially that ending. I think you're spot on with that one.
We'll see. I'm probably completely wrong in every aspect, and I'm going to hate it.
That's the fun thing about predictions.
No, I think with the Vader thing, I think at the moment that could go either way.
It really could. Yeah.
But I suspect that they are going to be using it. I've heard about 10 minutes of Vader in this movie total. And if that's the case, then they're going to be using him in a similar way they did in A New Hope. So there shouldn't be too much. There shouldn't
Never
be too much Darth Vader ninja stuff, like you say.
Yeah.
So you may not have much to worry about there, mate.
He's almost. I mean, obviously he has the duel with Ben in Star Wars, but beyond that, he's someone that tells other people what to do until they personally cross him. It's when they personally let him down and so on and so forth. That's when he seems to do that. But that really came to light a lot more in Empire anyway. And I think they decided we can use this guy. People don't like him. They're scared of him. Let's really pump this character up. And I think that's probably maybe what happened to a degree with Vader.
Yeah. Yeah. We might see that with Krennic, I think, where he's failed him.
Krennic's going to be a good guy.
We'll see. I like that. I like the idea of that, though, Paul, that there might be some redemption. But he's got a long way to go to get that after events.
Catalyst. Unlikely, but it does not impossible.
We've seen Anakin come back. That's the benchmark at the moment, right?
Sure.
So, All right, Rob, what about you, mate? Your hopes, fears and predictions for Rogue One?
Let's see. Hopes, I'm kind of with Paul. I'd like to be able to come out of it and go, that was awesome. You know, just really kind of taken aback by how good it was. Whether or not I'll get that, we'll obviously find out. I hope so. It'd be, I mean, especially as it's a midnight showing, that tends to justify it more. If the movie I go to see ends up being awesome, it makes it a lot more palatable to go and do a midnight showing. If it's rubbish, the next day you're like, oh, yeah, I feel rubbish and it wasn't even worth it.
Yes.
Hopes. What other hopes have I got? I hope it does well at the box office. It doesn't have to do, you know, Force Awakens money, but I think they're going to look to this film as a measure, as a measuring stick for future anthology movies. And I'm worried that if it doesn't do as well as they are hoping, then they might put the kibosh on risk taking in future movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's not so much about the fact they won't do them, because obviously they've signed up Han Solo for 3 pictures. Whether or not he's leading them or not doesn't really matter. But I wonder how likely they would be to let them, to make them play it safe if Rogue One doesn't do so well. They might sort of restrict them in terms of what they can and can't experiment with in future anthology movies, and that would be a shame.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about how over time you could distance yourself so much from the main characters using anthology that by the time you get to, you know, episode 13 or 14, they're completely different, unrecognizable characters from the first trilogy. That kind of stuff might be a bit more difficult to attain if they're gun shy because Rogue One didn't do as much money as they were hoping. So that's a fear, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a hope, like I say, it's a hope that they do well enough to justify future anthologies and future anthology storytelling. Predictions. I think Vader will kill Chirrut.
Okay.
And I, because I'm guessing, you know, we're taking a reasonably educated guess that Chirrut's going to cop it in the film before, long before the end, because that's what's going to send Baze into his Baze rage. I think Vader's going to kill him. And the reason I think so is because what better person to take out Chirrut than, one, somebody who's a skilled warrior, and two, somebody who represents the most powerful being in the Force. He's the Chosen One.
Yeah.
What better character to take Chirrut out than the guy who nobody could beat even if they tried on a good day?
Yeah, it's an almost honorable death for Chirrut, yeah. Then, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, and also it represents a kind of a weird symbolism in, you know, he sort of worships the Force. Vader almost took it for granted most of his life, because he was so strong in it that he was using it without even knowing he was doing so, and it made him arrogant. He's almost taken that for granted all his life, whereas Chirrut doesn't have it, but he's always kind of idolized the people who do.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a really nice bit of storytelling to have the person who takes him out be the person who represents the kind of antithesis of his, you know, reverence of the Force.
Yeah.
This guy who didn't really have to work for it, you know, and he trained, but he didn't you know, he was unnaturally good with that stuff. The other fear, besides the ones we've already covered, is the one I mentioned earlier, which is that they'll, I don't know if it was earlier on in this episode or in a previous, in part one, but the idea that they'll spare Jyn from a noble death because of a grander consideration beyond the movie. And I think that would be regrettable. Because I would imagine, this is just kind of speculation, because I think, you know, obviously I don't know. I would imagine if, let's say this film was being made differently and they were using a male lead in Jyn's place, I don't imagine that him ending the movie dead would be off the table. So I don't want it to be off the table for Jyn either.
Yeah, no, I think we're all with you on that one, mate.
Hopefully.
Mm.
I think it's a reasonable point. I can't really think of any more specifically. Like I say, the big one for me is Vader's going to be the one to take out Chirrut. And actually, maybe that scene of Vader in the, you know, if it's Vader in the back to tank, maybe that's something that happens later. So maybe he's trying to, I thought about this the other day, actually. Maybe he's trying to rest and recover after the battle, and they send him after the Tantive IV when he's not ready because he's not healed up.
And that's why he's slower.
Yeah, and him and Baze get into a big, you know, obviously Baze goes into his Baze rage, and him and Vader have a big sort of, you know, maybe it's a bit of a sort of visceral scrap. Vader might come out on top, but he's going to be sort of weakened by the, he's going to have to exert himself significantly to do so. He wants to go, he normally would, at this point, would go into the Bacta tank and recover, but they send him off after the Tantive IV, in which case he's, you know, a little bit worse for wear than compared to what he'd usually be,
mm-hmm.
particularly if he's just dispatched Krennic and they would have sent, they could have sent Krennic otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I don't
know
if
that would be a nice kind of,
would that fall within Krennic's sort of purview? Cause he's very much sort of the director of weapons research. I don't know if they would have sent him out like the attack dog,
but he seems to be on Scarif. In one of the earliest trailers,
yeah,
we saw him.
Yeah, that's true, on. Yeah, wading through the water.
I'm
yeah.
guessing that's Scarif, yeah, wading through the water. So he's obviously not afraid to get hands-on with this stuff.
Mm.
So maybe they could have, you know, maybe they would have sent him, but Vader gave him the force crushy throat. That's for you, Steve.
It could also explain why Vader puts his under tunic on over his armor, because he's rushing out to chase the Tantive.
Oh,
he got
man,
dressed in a hurry. That explains that whole thing.
I don't have time to fix this.
I'll do it later.
Yeah, I'll do it later. Yeah, that's what I've got so far.
Good points.
Think that if you're going to see the Emperor, you're going to see him on a hologram, or you're going to see. I can almost like envisage a scene where Bail Organa has to go and play nice with the Senate for a time or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of see him sat in the Senate chamber, much like he did at the end of episode 3.
Yeah,
and,
I can imagine that.
He's just kind of watching the Senate going through, you know, going on. And meanwhile, it's just kind of a passing shot just to sort of give you context of where he is at that particular moment.
I imagine Bail's card's probably marked after the end of Revenge of the Sith as well. So if he's in the Senate,
yeah,
he's probably being watched quite closely.
Oh, big time. Yeah, because obviously he's tried to rescue
a Jedi
from the temple, isn't he?
Hmm. Yeah, no, good ones, good points, Rob. Stephen?
Hopes. I mean, I'm with you guys in a lot of ways and not with you in others. I hope that it will make me feel like I was a kid again, but sadly, as long as I hope that for a lot of other films, it's never come true because you're not a kid, but sometimes it's very hard to lose yourself in films when you get older, but I would love that to happen. I mean, even Avatar, which I adored, I only really feel even close to that after a rewatch, and that's kind of when she says things like, Maya has heard you, and that I kind of get that feeling, but it's very rare these days, but I hope I do. I hope that, unlike Paul and I think you, Mark, as well, I mean, I hope it is a Star Wars film. I want it to be as close to a Star Wars film as possible. I know they're not doing an opening crawl. I want it to feel like it's embedded in the whole sequence of films. And I don't want it to feel like a standalone. And it can't really, because there's so many links to the other films. You can't go at something like that half-hearted. It has to be all or nothing. You know, you can't have Leia, you can't have Bail Organa, you can't have Vader, you can't have Jedi and all the rest of it without it in being embedded in there. And I really hope they do a good job of that.
That's a good point.
I think they'll regret not giving it things like an opening crawl and that. I personally think it should have started with the same opening crawl as A New Hope. And then when it gets to the spy section of the text, it zooms in on that, goes through one of the letters and dives into it literally.
Well, a bit like The Matrix.
Yeah, something like that.
Which is what we saw in at Celebration, and
that teaser, wasn't it?
That crazy little teaser they put up.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't stick to that. Maybe the lack of an opening crawl is a bit of a misnomer, and that is what they're doing. I don't know.
I heard a theory on this. I think it was one of our voicemails, or it was a listener question. I can't remember who it was, so forgive me. They said that a Saw Gerrera narrated prologue would be a possibility, and I thought that was awesome as an idea. I'm well on board for that if that happens.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's Steve, your option is hyper stylized for a Star Wars film, and it zooming through the text, even though we've seen it because they did it in that little spot in Celebration, I don't know if they'd be bold enough to put that at the start of a movie.
Now, think about it from the point of view of Celebration is for the super Star Wars fans.
Well, I guess it's no more weird than not having a opening crawl at all.
At least it's just the opening crawl being Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, and then you zooming through that paragraph and seeing a completely different film is a massive.
It's like almost like it's kind of okay. Here's this chapter. We stop the text here. We're going to dive you into there, and then you can rejoin Episode 4 at your, leisure. But I just think it. The more they make it feel like Star Wars for me, the better.
Yeah,
I will feel a lot more involved in it. Mm-hmm. I want it to be gritty, like Paul said. I think that's really important. But I do think that in order for it to feel like a Star Wars film, you've got to have that levity with the droids. You've got to have a little bit of kid stuff, well, cleverly placed in there. But I do appreciate that it'd be nice to see a gritty war film as well. That'd be lovely. I'd like to see some people survive. You've got to get rid of some others to make it gritty, but it would be nice to leave an opening for, and that just in case it does extremely well, which I don't see it not doing well. Fears are the opposite of all my likes. Basically, no shock there. I don't want it to not feel like a Star Wars film. I don't want it to be forced, if you know what I mean. I want it to feel like a natural, and I don't want, my biggest fear is that they don't know how to place it, and they're making it for the audience rather than Star Wars, if you know what I mean. Worry about it, just get on with it. One of my likes, actually, which you put as a fear mark, I hope they put as much CGI in for people's reenactment faces type thing, and they pull it off, because it will not only set the scene for things like Episode 8 and stuff and future films in general, but it will also might set a precedent for how actors are cast in the future. In 10 years I see actors signing up to have their image used wherever, and so the actors' age and preference and things won't come into a film and be political like it was in Episode 7, when Harrison Ford probably said, "Oh, I don't mind doing it, but you better kill me off or I'm not doing it." All that crap, which I hate, because I would, if you sign up for someone's image and CGI is good enough in facial reconstruction and voice reconstruction, then you can go back and make a Han Solo film with Harrison Ford and not somebody who isn't Harrison Ford, and that will always be a problem. And I know we've spoken about that at length as well, but it will to me and a lot of other people. Some people can put it out of their minds and some people can't. So I really hope they do a perfect CGI and it gives people faith in the future of CGI and where it can be used cleverly.
No, I'm with you there, Steve. My fear was that they're going to attempt to achieve that and fail, and that will open it up to criticism. But I do hope that they succeed. I do hope that they do it. I think they have to do it, and I really hope they succeed. And I'm very excited by the prospect of what you just said.
I think that would be awesome. My prediction, I only have one, because you guys have covered pretty much all of them. I think that Krennic is a spy.
No.
And we've been duped, and he is in fact, and you don't find out until towards the end, that actually he's a big part of what's allowed those plans to be available. And that's why you get
so not sure I'm with you on that one.
I think there's at the moment where Rob's coming from would be the same place I come from, which is that Rogue One Catalyst has pretty much set out the character of Krennic for us so that we can see what he's really about. But there's, like I was saying earlier, I think in the first part of the podcast, there's not much that's done in these books that actually makes it wholesale into another area of storytelling. So it could be that they've decided to abandon that and make him a rebel spy in the downtime between the end of Catalyst, the book, and the start of Rogue One, the movie. maybe his allegiance have changed.
Yeah, I
mean, if that happens,
might have an ulterior motive.
That's disastrous.
That would be awful
for the story group. A move like that would be it would certainly be unexpected and unprecedented, and it would make it very interesting. But it would be disastrous for what the story group are setting out to do. If they can't have consistency through a character's genesis.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he leaks the plans for his own benefit.
I was going to say, one thing I did talk to friend of the show, Joe Crouch, about, that's Joe Crouch, he ain't no slouch, was the idea that he would change allegiances by the end of the movie. Not so much that he'd go in as a double agent or anything like that, because I think the catalyst makes that very unlikely. But the idea that maybe... was it you, Paul, who was saying that something might change his mind? Was it you, Mark?
No, it was Paul that was talking about redeeming him.
Yeah, so it was the idea that something might change his mind to make him go, oh, hang on, this is not, you know, this is beyond what I signed up for. And he might change his allegiance by the end of the film. That's a possibility. I think the idea of him going in as a double agent is, I don't think that's happening. I think we should.
Here's a way we can all win. If Krennic sets up the downfall of the Death Star as an attack on Tarkin, if he's setting Tarkin up to fail, or Vader up to fail, by sabotaging the project he's worked on for such a long time, then you could have that Paul gets Krennic redeeming himself, Steve gets Krennic being the inside man, and you still get Krennic true to the Krennic that was set up in Catalyst.
Yeah.
And I get a surprise that justifies the existence of the story group. Mm-hmm. If he does it to bring down Tarkin.
Yeah.
Because he certainly, there's some animosity there. He certainly feels threatened by him, and he wants to be perceived as a threat to him, I think.
Yeah.
So if that all plays out for Krennic as an attack on Tarkin, then they'd get away with it, I think.
Just about.
Still might be a bit of a push.
Yeah, they'd have to do it in a certain... It would have to work however they did it if they went down that route. Have to be careful with it.
It would be interesting, though, because I think we all think we've got the measure of Krennic going into this film. And it would be a shame if that is the case. Mm. There should be something that gets unpacked about that character on screen that is only contained in that film.
Mm.
Was it, maybe there's more to Steve's prediction there than we think.
Maybe, yeah.
That's some great stuff. So there's our hopes, fears, and predictions for Rogue One. We'll know, this comes out on the Wednesday, so some of us will be finding out in a few hours.
Shortly afterwards, yeah.
Okay, with that in mind, knowing that this podcast is going to be butting up against the release of the movie, I've put together a second Twitter poll for this week.
Okay.
It won't be going out until Thursday, so it'll give the Midnighters a chance to see the film, absorb the film, and then take part in this Twitter poll first thing on Thursday morning, which is the opening day for the movie in the UK. Mm-hmm. And this is the Twitter poll that will be going out on Thursday. So quite simple, really. Did you enjoy Rogue One? Select the answer that best suits your feelings, or quote the poll to add your own spin. Three options in this poll. I loved Rogue One. It was an okay entry. Or this is not Star Wars. That's going to be pinned to our profile from Thursday morning. So once you've seen the movie and you want to share with the world your thoughts, you can do it through the medium of our Twitter poll. Okay, we've got a couple of bits of Rogue One story. Rogue One, a Star Wars story news. Do we want to go through those, or would you like to wrap up the podcast here? What would you prefer, guys?
I'm happy. I'm easy with either. So,
Paul and Steve, I know you're both a bit poorly. We've got three items. We've got three items of news. Would you like to cover these before we duck out of the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, if you do them like quite succinctly.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into this then. So makingstarwars.net have been told that there is toy packaging out for Rogue One that includes the characters of Emperor Palpatine, Princess Leia Organa, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
I've heard 3PO's in it.
You've heard 3PO's in the movie?
Yes.
Yeah?
That would make sense.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about R2, but I've heard 3PO's in it, and I also heard, well, I heard Anthony Daniels did vocal work. So.
Oh, splendid. Mm. Where did that come from, Paul?
I can't remember. I'll do some digging, mate, and I'll get back.
Yeah, or just stick it on the Facebook page or something, Paul. It'd be really fascinating.
I'll try and find it.
The thing to bear in mind with this is when they released, Mark at Blue Harvest has started writing a bunch of articles for the site. He's going to be putting out I think he's planning on doing a monthly blog post. It's going to be a big post about vintage toys. And the piece he's just given me, which will probably be going out, I don't know, I'll consult with him, but it's going to be going out probably in the new year. It's all about the Luke Skywalker farm boy figure, that original vintage figure. And that came out on a bunch of card backs. So that came out on the Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi card back. Yeah. And that figure only belonged in A New Hope, and only the first half of A New Hope, right? So it could be that this is just a collection of characters that have been plucked out of the stock of toys, and they've been rebranded and put on cards for Rogue One, because they are period-specific characters, right?
Yeah, kind of works.
The other thing is, with The Force Awakens, there was a two-pack of Darth Vader and Bespin Luke Skywalker.
Oh, okay.
And we know they were intended to be in The Force Awakens, as Rey witnessed the duel from a different perspective to the to the perspective we had in the movie.
Yeah.
So those characters were intended to be on screen, and they did get produced as Force Awakens-specific characters for collectors. Mm-hmm. Could that be... Could one of those scenarios... I think it's highly unlikely. I think each of these characters are going to be in this movie. That's why I think they're on toy cards for Rogue One. But it could be something similar to The Force Awakens, where they were intended to be used and they didn't get used, and you know they've just come out as part of the merchandising.
Put the order in anyway,
But it is pretty intriguing right now. But I love the idea of seeing all these characters, especially the droids, because they are like that quintessential image of Star Wars to me. That's pretty cool. Okay, the next part, George Lucas.
Interesting, you're saying. The other thing was he was asked, would there be a Jedi in it? He said technically yes. Is he just referring to?
Oh yes, sorry, I missed that.
Is he referring to Anakin though?
Don't know.
Well, he's a Sith, isn't he?
This is from that French interview you mentioned, Steve.
Not if you listen to Luke, when Luke basically turns his back on the dark side, he says, I am a Jedi like my father before me.
But Anakin was a Jedi and he was a Sith by the time this film comes out.
Not the way Luke sees it, so shush.
It doesn't matter. The way Luke sees it is irrelevant. He's Mr. Bloody Cheerful when it comes to that, but you know, the film is called Revenge of the Sith and he's joined the Sith.
No, the film's called Revenge of the Jedi. He says it in Revenge of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
No, I feel like he's, you know, this is some mental gymnastics. You should be very proud in your condition of doing these gymnastics, Paul, nonetheless.
He could be talking about the big statue, right?
It could be.
Yeah. I'm confused by what Rob just said.
Huh?
In the end of Return of the Jedi, Luke says to the Emperor, I'm a Jedi like my father before me.
Because Anakin was a Jedi, but he was also a Sith.
I know.
At the time of Rogue One, he is a Sith.
A Sith is only a dark Jedi.
No.
Semantics. You're wrong.
No, Lucas would disagree, so I think I'm right.
Oh, yeah, what does he know? Ask Steve.
Yeah, I think there is... ask Steve. I think there is a distinction between a dark Jedi and a Sith. The Lost 20 would qualify as dark Jedi, and then the Sith are indoctrinated into...
Order.
The Order. But this...
meetings, lots of pamphlets.
These couple of lines... that I missed before I jumped onto the George Lucas thing come from that article you were talking about at the start of the show, Steve, the French interview that Gareth Edwards gave, where he was asked a number of questions. Will this be in the film? And he said no. Will that be in the film? He said no. They asked if Leia would be in the film, and he didn't say no. He said, I don't want to spoil it for anyone. And then and then he was asked about, will there be Jedi? And he said technically yes. Mm. So that's... Paul, you just mentioned semantics. This is a semantic argument.
That could be a semantic answer, but yeah.
That statue on Jeddah. Do we think we'll see Jedi? Let's boil it down to that quick question. Do you think we'll see Jedi? Bearing in mind the start of this film is very close to the Clone Wars.
Very little. There's none left.
No, not at all.
I think he means Anakin, and he should be saying Sith. But he's being semantic.
So what I actually started by saying was right then.
No.
From a certain point of view.
Yeah, from a certain point of view, which is to say the wrong one.
A certain point of view?
All right, let's get to this next bit then. So, nice and simple. George Lucas is in Rogue One. He loved
certain
it.
Certain or particular?
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Certain.
Yeah, he gave it a thumbs up. He phoned in to the guys when they were all...
He also liked Phantom Menace.
Yeah. That's just undermined this entire point in the news, isn't it? Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't dislike the pre. I bought Phantom Menace today, by the way.
I like the prequels. Yeah, no, that's a bargain.
Sat here for 3 hours and you've just ruined the entire evening.
Be laying in bed, so stop whinging.
How can you not like Phantom Menace when you sat there with us and after an hour we all wanted to kill ourselves?
It is not, well, you wanted to kill yourself. I wanted to kill you.
I don't think I wanted to kill.
It's not without its faults. It is not without its faults.
No,
it's
absolutely
certainly not.
Nobody can argue as flawed as
Attack of the Clones.
Ooh.
But I actually quite enjoy The Phantom Menace. I think the problem is when you do look closely at the things that stand out, and if you listen to me in that Lost commentary, I did go on about some silly little points like R2 wouldn't be able to fit in that tube on the back of the N1 Starfighter and all that.
Yeah. But I don't care about that because all Star Wars films have those problems.
Yeah, if you can look past it, you can enjoy it, get lost in it.
It's so wooden, the acting, and it's awkward, and it makes
you feel
embarrassed.
Steve, that's Star Wars.
No.
Yes, it is. You're just blind. You're blinkered.
Any of the others.
You were a kid. You were a child. This is what this is the thing. Yeah.
Them now,
because you watch them with those nostalgia glasses.
I'm sorry, if you had a technical discussion about acting.
Yep.
And you compared Star Wars 3, 4, and 5 to 1, sorry, 4, 5, and 6 to 1, 2, and 3, they're worlds apart.
No, if you had a technical discussion about acting, you would come away with the knowledge they are both pretty hammy.
Well, yeah, but have you actually watched episode 1, 2, and 3? And
lots.
It's horrible.
Probably more than you.
So,
yes, I know. You know.
Like, even the kids and that, I mean, couldn't they get them to do
they're
enough?
Children.
To
what do you want
to.
There are no child actors that I can think of in the original trilogy. So there's no comparison there.
I bet you if there had been, they would have done enough takes.
That's speculation and guesswork, and you have no
objection.
Can't bring these. Yeah, that doesn't stand up in court.
I can't watch prequels without feeling embarrassed.
Well,
and I have to fast forward bits.
Because you've got awkward.
One thing is very clear from this part of tonight's podcast that the audio commentary we do for the prequels is going to be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I'll be moaning all the way through, I think.
There are some bits.
If I want to go back, Steve. If I watch episode one, I watch the pod race because it's kind of, you don't have to think about acting. It's great sound.
It's fun.
An enjoyable race,
mm-hmm.
but then you know every other bit of the film is just horrible.
I really wish, Mark, that we'd had this discussion before Episode 4's commentary, because I would have just taken Steve to pieces on this in Episode 4's commentary, because it is the same.
We can't.
How does Paul feel about it?
It's
very quiet in over there.
He's coughing.
Yeah, he might.
No,
be
I'm not. I'm not even on mute at the moment. That makes a change.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about the differences between Episode 4 and Episode 1, Paul?
In relation to what?
Well, the whole feeling of the film, the way, you know...
They're not comparable.
No.
They're not comparable. One was written in 1974, and it was filmed in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple of classical actors in there using various ideas. The other one was filmed 30 years later with pure green screens, and it was a marketing ploy only. The first one was done with passion independently by a young man that, you know, had a particular direction of how he wanted to make movie. The Star Wars element was only equally important to him making a movie the way he wanted to make a movie. And when he did episode one, he made the complete mistake of making a television product.
Well, he made the movie he wanted to make, and unfortunately nobody was there.
I think you're
incorrect. I think that he went
I have to disagree.
That's fine. You're more than welcome to. What I'm saying is I think the difference in episode 4 and episode 1 is that he went into episode 4 restrained by certain forces, and episode 1 didn't have any of that stuff and made a movie with no oversight, nobody telling him you know, or I don't know if that's going to work. I think the problem with episode four was that, you know, nobody could say no to
say. Because he's the bully and tells everyone what to do.
I don't know about bully, but
why did he make a special edition saying it was the movie he wanted to make?
He's the boss
because
at
of
the
technology.
End of the day. And this, yeah. I'm kind of with all of you. I think we need to remember that George Lucas.
I'm playing Switzerland, Mark.
I am playing, but as the moderator, I kind of have to wear that hat.
We still love each other, you know.
We have to appreciate that George Lucas created the marketing-driven movie system that we enjoy today. It didn't really exist before. Yeah. He created this thing.
He revolutionized cinema.
And then Hollywood was trying to catch up. The problem is, as Rob pointed out, and I've been saying this for years, and I'll stick by this point because I believe it wholeheartedly. George was limited when he made A New Hope. It wasn't the film he wanted to make. That's why we got the special editions. That's why we got a subtle remake of it when we got Return of the Jedi. He wanted the monster rally in the cantina. He didn't get it, so he put it in Jabba's palace. He wanted this multiple optical composite space battle at the end for the Death Star assault. He didn't get it, so he put it in Return of the Jedi. We got the first special edition just a few years after, just one movie after The Empire Strikes Back, you know? George has always done these things. What we saw in The Phantom Menace was George Lucas making the film he would have made if he was making a film without limitations in 1977. That's what we would have got. That man didn't change.
A film without actors.
Yeah, he said this, Steve. That's a direct quote. He said to Ron Howard, go into animation. Animation is pure filmmaking. You don't have to bother with the actors. And he was saying that to Ron Howard when Ron Howard was an actor on American Graffiti. George Lucas is an editor. He considers filmmaking collecting the material he needs to get his edit. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't care about performance. He doesn't care about nuance. That's why Star Wars is giant broad strokes. And for the most part, it works. But it works because of the limitations placed on George in the 70s. And don't forget that Empire and Jedi had other creative forces in the mix.
Yes.
You had Irving Kirshner, which made Empire a success.
So with that in mind, episodes 1, 2, and 3 could do nothing else but fail because he had free reign and was in charge.
Nobody
was going to tell him no.
This is the problem. That's exactly the problem. That's what happens when no one tells you no. When you've got all the money in the world and all the time in the world, you're on your own schedule.
Yep. And no one says to you, actually, they need to do that scene again because they sound like they've never acted before. Oh, no, that's it. We're doing that one. That's what I want.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll put it out then. It's a pile of shit. Sorry, you'll have to bleep that, Mark, but that's how passionate I am about it.
Well, that's good.
And I dare you, Rob, to watch the scene where Anakin feeds the apple to Padme and then rides her like Seabiscuit. I know exactly, right? No, sorry, he rides that creature on the hill. Sorry, it's not her, is it?
Oh.
But anyway, those bits. What? You watch that without vomiting in your own cereal.
I dread to think what's in your head half the time.
I really wish I could call this episode Rides Like Seabiscuit. You imagine that scene
in your head. Sorry, run that by me again. You imagine that scene in your head, but Anakin was riding Padme around.
No, he was on that stupid creature. Oh, my God. Yeah. Mate, I don't think you have any qualification
to tell me anything about anything anymore. I think you've lost your mind.
And he feeds her that apple, and the whole thing makes me vomit.
That's my least favourite one.
I would agree on that one. And that's episode 2, by the way, not episode 1.
I know. So. I said prequels then.
You did. This is true.
There are a lot of other scenes. The kid, the stupid woman, if it's not in the archives, it doesn't exist. And a whole 100 other scenes. And everything with Jar Jar twit in it. Oh, my God, it's vomitous, the whole thing. I'll never watch them again. To me, they are not Star Wars. That's
all right, well, we don't have to worry about you griping through the commentaries then.
Are you going to sit out the commentaries then, Steve?
I can't watch them. The fans will love it. I honestly can't watch them. Last time we did it for an hour, we lasted an hour, Mark. Even you said, I'm going to take my own life. You do. We have
your guys'
stop.
Demons are your
think,
own business.
I think that's
he took
pretty,
Andy's though.
So. I think that is pretty close. Yeah, that's why he's not on this podcast anymore. I think that is pretty close to a direct quote. I was not having a good time with that movie.
we started off all talking really like we're doing a podcast, really happy, and then within it just died.
Mm.
It was just awful.
It did take
you
a nose dive,
weren't you, Paul?
We are going to do these audio commentaries again. And we're going to take a slightly more measured approach to it. But we are going to be honest. I think we will point out when things don't work.
Because this is why they are destined to remake the prequel.
No, they are
not. It's not going to happen.
Never going to do it.
Ever.
Right, ask me a question. If they remade episode one and it was fantastic and the reviews were off the charts, would you go and see it?
No.
Oh, ridiculous.
If they mess with George's Star Wars original, if they mess with George, then no.
George.
What?
Screw him.
No.
It won't happen. There's no way they'll do it. It's too far.
They're very, very carefully considering the next project on this now. I mean, you even heard a little while ago, it's like they weren't even sure if they're going to go with another trilogy yet.
No,
so
this is true.
They're really carefully considering the next move because they want every move now to be a guaranteed blockbuster, and that takes a lot of thought, and they're going to want the very particular crews and backup writers and all sorts on this, and that's going to take time to regroup. So going back to the old school and doing that, and to be honest, they're going to want films that are made by fans, and those films don't have many fans, and I don't think people are going to want to revisit. So,
it's
Disney's bag now, isn't it? Don't forget.
Yeah, you just want to put it behind you. It's a bad time in your life.
Clearly.
It was the biggest. When Paul and I walked out of episode one, we just wanted to go home. we'd waited.
I am strong in the force, so I can talk to Paul.
Do you remember, Paul? We just like, honestly, I felt like punching a nun.
Right, I think that's probably a good place to leave this episode then tonight. let's just wrap this up, shall we? We will see all of everybody on the other side of Rogue One when we get together and we do our reaction show.
Except Steve, if it's rubbish, because he's going to top himself.
In the meantime, thank you very much for listening to two episodes of Talk Star Wars this week. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and take advantage of our Ron Burgundy guarantee. That is, whatever you write in a 5-star review, we will read, as long as it's clean. So if you want to promote your own blog or podcast, that could be the place to do it. You can email us your questions and comments at talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. That's talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us on one of our many social channels, such as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, to name but a few. With that said, guys, where can people find you between shows?
I'll be watching episode 1, 2, and 3. A lot.
Objection.
Yours.
Go on, Steve.
Wild About Nature on YouTube and Twitter.
And Paul?
MovieScoreNews.com. And on Twitter, I'm at Movie Score News.
Splendid.
Yeah.
There is. No, spot on.
I normally forget, don't I?
You do. And this time you forgot that you got it right. Rob, where can people find you, mate?
Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision. And you can find me on emotionally14.com, where I do a ton of stuff. And it has emotionally14 on Twitter. You can find all the stuff there. And I plug it constantly.
Splendid. You can find everything I do at talkstarwars.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter at talkstarwars. You can find the rest of the Commonwealth by going to starwarscommonwealth.com. You'll find Tumbling Saber, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron podcast, and the Skyhoppers podcast over there. And I'm going to tease it now. Looks like we're adding another show. More on that soon. Okay, don't forget to leave us that 5-star review and check out the poll that we post on Thursday morning and let us know how you felt about Rogue One. But above all, enjoy the movie. Have fun with it. That's what it's for.
Get some snacks.
Try not to sit behind Rob and Jeremy if you're going to the midnight show because you'll see nothing.
They wear big hats as well.
I wear a sombrero to the cinema. It's a ritual.
A big 10-gallon sombrero.
Now I feel like I can't wear mine. How rude. Okay, guys, we'll see you next week when we break this movie down.
Enjoy the film.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.